took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome to Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and I'm with
Pastor Barry.
Yes, one day he's going to open up the program, and I'm not going to respond because I won't be paying attention.
Well, we have to switch chairs. That's the only way it works.
Yeah, that's true, but then you have to run the board here.
Oh,
I'll have to train you to do that.
Folks, you don't want me to do that.
Well, anyway, we're into the third program of a three-program series on the three most important leadership characteristics for the church, for those who are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be honest with you, the leaders are not, if the leaders are teaching you this, then it's good for you too, because when you're out there on the street, if you're a believer and you're out there in ministry, then you need to have these skills too, these leadership gifts.
That's right.
And God will give them to you if you'll let him. So tonight, last, just to remind you, the first session we talked about, the most important of all of them is having a personal relationship with Jesus. If you have a leader in the church that doesn't have that, they're not leading you in the right direction.
That's true.
Secondly, the humility of Christ, was we talked about that last week.
Very important.
Very important. It's the servanthood ministry of Christ. Jesus came to serve, not to be served, he says. And, you know, that's the way, if we're going to be Jesus, we have to have the same attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this week, in the last section of these three programs, is the theme is the love of Christ. Now, you can also put in there, with love, mercy, because,
mm-hmm.
man, we're going to be talking about mercy and love tonight. So, and my brother Barry is going to read from the Gospel of John tonight, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35.
Got it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Mm. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
Just before we went on to record this, I told David, that sounds like a commitment and a sacrifice, and yet a blessing.
Yes. Well, it's all three of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other Gospels, we talk about love each other as you love your neighbor as you love yourself. But here, John gets right down to it.
He cuts to the chase, as we like to say here in the South.
As I have loved you.
Yes.
Now, how did he love me? Well, he gave his all.
Yeah.
He gave everything. He didn't hold back anything.
You know, that makes me go right back to the previous scripture we read last week. In the third verse, we read Philippians 2, 1 through 3, but it's the third verse. If you think about what Barry just said, that he gave his life as a ransom for many, and Paul writes in the third verse, says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, it would seem to me that Jesus on the cross, dying as a sacrifice for our sins,
mm-hmm.
our sins, here we are, sinners, he's the perfect God, dying on the cross, Jesus, for us. That underscores that. So there's that humility and that, but it's the love that gets him on the cross, isn't it?
It's the love and the commitment. You know, if you can't love your neighbor as yourself, if you can't love one another as Jesus loved us, that tells me there's something in the way.
Yeah.
And what's in the way is pride. And that comes from Satan.
Yes.
And he slips that pride in there, and you can't possibly love everybody the way Jesus loved us. You're not Jesus, but you know, you're yourself.
Yeah.
And you're a pretty good guy. And someone else will take care of that. I mean, the devil has his lies.
Of course he does.
And
they sound so good.
They sound reasonable.
Yeah.
I used to say like a prosecuting attorney, but I think the attorneys are going to blow my car up.
Mm.
But I'm saying this, that once you know Jesus, as we spoke about previously, and you've emptied yourself out of ego and pride,
yeah,
you're going to be doing things that people are watching. You're going to be caring for those that everybody else finds disgusting, reproachful, people that don't deserve help, that don't deserve to be loved. This is how other people are going to look at them. I tell you what, David, the night before that I was ordained, they brought in an archbishop from out of town, another state. And he looked me in the eye and he said, you've been called to do this, haven't you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, let me fill you in on a few things. He said, if you're going to be living your life as Christ did, and the townspeople have pitchforks and torches and dogs barking, and they're going to the jail to bust that guy out for killing them people, you're not going to be in that crowd. You're going to be in the cell holding his hand, praying for him.
Yeah.
Because he's in peril. And that gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Because the voice of Christ in this world. And you're going to be doing things that others either cannot or will not do, but Jesus would and does. And that's something to think about, because as we're going through the series talking about knowing Christ, not knowing about Christ, and being a humble person, it logically follows that, well, now you're going to go out and do the work as a humble person who's in love with Christ, and people are going to call you crazy, or they're going to look at you and say, oh, you're brainwashed.
Right.
Or you have very poor judgment. You shouldn't do that. You're going to hurt yourself financially. You're going to hurt yourself in your social standing, and on and on and on it goes. And we know where that comes from. You know, Satan's using other people to drive that wedge between you and Christ. Anything he can do, anything. He's got his little bag of tricks. I'll discourage you. I'll dissuade you. I'll persuade you. And thank God he's not invited into heaven. I look forward to that, David.
Yeah, me too.
The peace and love and glory of heaven. But anyway, getting back to this, we talked a little bit about caring for people as a leader in a church. You're in a position of ministry. You're the director of a program. And things aren't going well. I'll paint that picture. Maybe there's a lot of stuff going on in a church that you didn't know about when you took the job. We've all been there. Whether that's being the head of one of the programs or the pastor himself. It's not always a bed of roses. And if we didn't have the power of Christ in our hearts, we would fall flat on our face.
Yeah.
We would give up. We would maybe even yell back and become the enemy of those people.
Mm.
That's human nature.
And thankfully that Jesus enables us to not work out of our own human nature, but he gives us his nature.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want people to see when we go out there.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about love, and I said you could also put mercy. And they're really interchangeable words when it comes to the gospel. And I think probably for me, the most fundamental truth here, when we talk about sharing the gospel with others, and particularly let us just say that, because I know some people are hearing this and saying, I don't want to go out there and do that, and people not like me and throw, you know, rotten vegetables at me and stuff, and saying, look, first of all, God sends you. You know, if you send yourself, you're already going to be in trouble. But, you know, God will send you because he has, he knows to whom you need to go and when you need to go. But there's one thing, I believe I can say this, make a blanket statement for all human beings.
Okay, here we go.
Who have ever lived, who are alive today, whoever will live, is that no matter what state of life they're in, no matter what they believe that they believe, no matter what socioeconomic condition they're in, whether they're at the top of the heap or at the bottom of the heap, there's one commonality that in part of our humanity, and that is that we have a great hunger. And I know God put this in everybody's heart.
Okay.
And this is the hope that God wants us to have. So when we hear the truth of the gospel and the mercy of God, that hope is ignited. And frankly, friends, think about this. And especially if you have come from a place of great sin and depravity, you know, and if your life had been a series of horrible, depreciating, bad decisions, that did horrible things to you and other people, and you met Jesus wherever it was, think for a minute that in that meeting, there was a hope in your heart that when you heard for the first time, now you probably heard it 8,000 times before then, the gospel, But at this particular time, then the Holy Spirit had prepared you for that, and the right elements were there that God had placed, and you listened for the first time. And when you heard the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for your salvation so that you could live with him forever, and that the mercy of God did that,
right,
that he died for you because you couldn't die for yourself, that the perfect God went to that cross for your imperfect self, and that the mercy of God, not the things that you would do after meeting Jesus. You know, it's nice to do ministry. It's nice to do good things for people. And we do naturally do that as believers. We mm-hmm. are servants, right, after all. But that it's not the accumulation of good works. It is not anything on your part that we call goodness, that your salvation depends solely and completely on the mercy of God. And that's what captures this, friends, if you have not gone out in the power of the Spirit to share Christ, ask God to do it with that in mind.
Well, that in mind and heart, because
yeah.
Jesus is already ready to forgive your sins. You got to learn how to forgive yourself.
Oh, big deal.
He has yep. more mercy yep. on you than you do on your own. And that's what drives people away from the church. It yeah. drives people away from Christ. They can't forgive themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, many years ago, David, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I had heard this from a Southern preacher, and I shared it at our church. And later I was told by one of the congregants they needed to hear that. And it's the old expression that Satan knows your name, but he'll only call you by your sins.
Yeah.
And Christ knows all your sins, but he'll only call you by your name.
Yeah.
And that's powerful stuff, because it starts the thought process in your mind. Now, wait a minute. Maybe I'm just on the same page as Satan here.
Yeah.
Because I can't shake it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel worthy to pick up that book and open those pages, or to go to a church and talk to someone and find out how to get my way clear to eternal life. Again, we know who does that and puts that in your heart. But you're a miserable sinner. You have no right to call on Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. But that's the lie.
That's the lie. The big lie.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking to all humanity. Well, all humanity yeah. needs to hear that too.
Yeah.
And it's a lie.
Right. And you talk about, we should probably do a series on forgiveness, because that's a big deal right now, or it always has been. But but just getting back to, I want to underscore what you said about forgiving ourselves. You know, as we grow in Christ, and as our faith, you know, deepens and broadens, and we begin to recognize the forgiveness that comes from his death and sacrifice on the cross and the mercy that's attached to that, we become willing mm-hmm. to forgive other people.
Right.
You know, but we think, and here's the devil working in this too, that he wants us to think how self-centered it is to forgive ourselves.
Mm, that's right.
But let me tell you, now I've got a story.
Okay.
Can I tell you this story?
Story time again.
Yeah, yes. Well, you know, it's really relevant now, because it's only recently that God broke some chains in my spiritual chains that I was bound up by what Satan
That's
lied to me about.
That's wonderful, David. Good.
And throughout our lives, I also want to say to people, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for 45 years. He didn't do all this healing the day after I asked him in my heart. You know, it's been a slow but steady process. God's timing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't advance it. I can only receive it.
Okay.
So I may have said, have I talked about being an anorexic and a bulimic person here on the radio? Mm-hmm. I mean, on this show?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I won't regale you with all the details, but I will say that in my early 20s, but I was, you know, a little more weight than a child should carry, and my folks were always getting on me about losing weight, and it was, you know, I didn't really connect when I was a kid, but with that, I just said, well, this is me, you know, and I'll grow up and I'll grow out of it. Well, that didn't happen, because I grew up, I grew out. And there were some other physical issues that disabled me from doing exercise and stuff when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was the husky boy. You know, that's the kind of size we go into the husky boy department.
I remember. Husky jeans.
Husky jeans, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, okay, and my folks were both, you know, they were trying to make me healthy anyway, but so I struggled with that. I saw it as condemnation. So in my early 20s, someone I knew who had, I really didn't think too much of them as a person, but they were losing weight big time. And I thought, well, that's my, I was like 200, I was like 440 pounds, 50 pounds overweight. So I said, I'm going to do it. And I did. But what happened was, is that because I was not, I didn't know the Lord back then. So I'll say this, I didn't know the Lord at that age. But so I wasn't praying and asking for his guidance and all of that. So instead, I got into this, I developed this mindset that really opened me up to what anorexics think. It's a body image thing, you know, that no matter how thin you get, you're still fat, you right? Did, because
you, yeah, you saw a different person in the mirror than everybody else did.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I went from 240 pounds, let's say, that in a two-year period, I was down to 115 pounds.
Ooh, that's
not good. Now, no, and then blood pressure was real low and other things. I mean, I've known people who died from heart attacks because of that. I didn't know it then, but I know it now.
Yeah.
So over time, and I had a real dear friend of mine who recently went to be with the Lord, but he was the one that got my attention, really saved my life, because he talked to me in a loving way, talk about, you know, the love of God. Mm-hmm. He didn't condemn me, but he talked about, this is what I see, this is what's going to happen if you don't do something about it. He was there to help me, pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
It began to, I've turned around. But what I have to say, and if you're, if you have been an anorexic and a bulimic, because they usually go together.
Right.
Because there's a purging aspect of it. But, and that's why I said those details we will not discuss, but let's just say I had my methods.
Uh-huh.
But the point was, is that the devil gets really deep in your psyche. You know, he doesn't get in my soul. It got in my mind. And he built in my mind what I thought was a means of freedom. Mm-hmm. And to be loved, because my folks, you know, not really knowing what they were saying, they're telling me, well, I was heavy, I was, you know, fat. Let's just use that word. It's three letters.
Right.
It's a three-letter word. Fat. It's a horrible word, but that's what I was. That's what they didn't like that. So along comes the enemy and says, hey, you know, I got a way for you to be loved by everybody, even your parents.
Yeah, they'll love you more if you get small.
Well,
yeah.
And so that was my thing, and it's body image, you know, I began, but here's the lie. The lie is it's a lie embedded in a lie, that no matter how much weight you lose, the enemy is saying you can always lose more. Well, until you die, which is his goal,
right?
That you die.
He's going to take you down.
And so my friend turned me around, but it was several years. And at a certain point, you know, I did walk away from that, but I didn't have the healing I needed, Barry. I didn't have the... Because these chains are tough.
Mm, oh, yeah.
They're hard to break. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, I had put on, you know, sufficient amount of weight, even a healthy amount, and then went past that, so it was a little extra. And then we, you know, last few years, you know, my doctor would use that phrase, morbidly obese, but obese.
Yeah.
You know. And so that, there was then...
That's a trigger word.
Listen, let me tell you, it is a trigger word, because then you start looking in the mirror again and you wonder, well, I know how to lose this. But the Lord was at that point, I was strong enough in the Lord, so that what he was having me do, brother, was he was having me pray just... Well, what he was having me pray for is, David, and I heard him say this, David, I love you, but you don't love yourself. You're calling me a liar.
Ah, that's powerful.
Well, it is. When I finally came across, I said, Lord, you know, after all these years, and of course, you know, we tell the Lord he's right. I mean, we know he's right, you know, but I had to say, what I was saying when I said that is, I acknowledge your truth, Lord, so help me, you know, because those chains were still there. And I began putting on more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying, well, if the Michelin man dies, I'm going to be able to replace him. No,
folks, David's a good-looking man.
No.
He's wearing a really nice vest right now. He looks great.
Well, okay, but the point is that was in I'm also a recovering alcoholic. So imagine how many addictions God's delivered me from. Praise God. But you know, stinking thinking, as we would say.
Right.
Celebrate Recovery is what the part that I was in, not the other one. But whatever works for you, do it. But here's the thing, is that I was still having bound by those chains.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was, you know, Jesus was saying, look, you need to open up. You need to submit to me in such a way that you will let me love you in those places where you're bound.
Okay.
And finally I said, okay, I've had enough. You know,
right.
I mean, at that point, and I'm telling you, one day, I mean, it was 2 months ago, maybe it was just like, I didn't get write the date down, but it was a couple of months ago. It was back in 2021. I just felt the chains fall off.
That's beautiful.
You know, and the thing that I look in the mirror, you know, I say, hey, Dave, I love you, guy. You know, does that sound strange? But the point is, I hadn't done that for 50 some years.
Sure.
And so it's new to me, but God did that. And so we talk about the love of God, the love of Christ is, you know, and let's face it, I'm kind of a leader in the church, you know?
Yeah, you are.
And now I feel like I've been truly empowered by God, you know, because
or all the other poisons that Satan places in your life. Yeah. And put them in the form of if you have an active imagination out there, picture every one of these in a box that's taped to your body. And, you know, there's a marker that says regret, guilt, sin, and on it goes. And then try and physically hug the Lord.
Yeah.
Hug the cross. You know, you can't. You can't fully love yourself or love God.
Yeah.
Because it's stuff that's been placed in your way, and it's just stumbling blocks, and it's a blockade. And here's David smiling away, and he's got a glow on his face because the Lord delivered him, and now there's nothing between him and God anymore.
No. And that's, you know, so if you're, and I think the question is, that's not the issue for everybody, but there's always something, because we're always growing, you know. God knew that. When I invited Jesus into my life, he knew what he was getting. You know, he knew it's not a bargain. You know, I'm sure he didn't think that. But, you know, I thought, hey, God, I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. But he's been cleaning up the mess. And I may go to my grave without every mess being cleaned up. But that point is that we need to submit to God. And what is it in your life that is getting in the way of having a more effective ministry, of being more of an instrument of God's love? Because first, before you can be that effective instrument, you have to open up to his love in your heart.
And it may be a small thing, but in actuality, it's a Goliath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is stuff that we always, you know, every preacher and pastor says, you know, dump it at the cross and don't pick it up again.
Yeah.
You know, and we try.
Yeah.
But to do it on your own, no. It's only with the power of Christ. And folks, it works. You just need to humble yourself. I'm going back to what we were talking about before. Humble yourself and say, I don't have any superpower.
Yeah.
You do. Help me out here. You know, going back to loving each other the way Christ loved us, Robin Williams was quoted a few years back, be kind to one another because you don't know what's going on behind that smile.
Hmm.
And I want you to think about that because David and I have talked about, you know, scary people and smelly people and loud people that need to be ministered to. There are people in your life that you see every day that may have a pain behind that smile. And the pain could be either not forgiving themselves or the pain could be not knowing Christ.
Yeah.
Don't be shy about sharing Christ because you're being put in positions to do just that. And he will always, David, he always equips the person who's going in his place to speak for him.
Absolutely.
There's nothing to fear.
Now, as you make sure that you have gotten direction from the Lord, then you know what to do.
You'll know what to do.
And
you know, he'll give you the words to say if you're not a verbose person.
Yeah, you'll have everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the fear of a lot of people. I'll go and do that, but what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Well, God's already got, he knows exactly when you need it.
That's right.
You know, and the other thing, you know, I'd have to say personally that throughout all of my ministry life, that I have had a string of encounters with people that were just, you know, way off center, a lot of them, you know, for one reason or another. And that was a great part of my, still is a great part of my ministry. But God has made me in such a way that I actually enjoy being with those people.
I've seen you with those people, David. And those, those people need you. They need all of us.
They need all of us. But, you know, it's something that God will give you the joy, too, in service.
Yes.
So we're almost out of time, which is amazing. We just got started, Barry. But what a joy. We just want you to know, I mean, you know, if you hear us saying stuff and you think, well, They think that they're better than we are.
Oh, no.
Now, we got to say no. We've been around the block a few times. We're sharing experience. We're sharing what leadership experience we have, what God has given us, mm-hmm. our studies of the Word, our life experiences in Christ, and all of that. And really, out of a heart for Christ and a heart for you, because we know there's so many people hurting and needing to deepen their relationship with the Lord.
Amen. And we're here to serve.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're happy to do it. We're having a ball.
Amen, brother.
So I think I'm just going to offer a brief but profound prayer, if I may. Father God, we just hold up to you all of our listeners. Some are pastors, some are not. Many are probably leaders in their churches, and some are looking for leadership opportunities. But we pray, Father, that those essentials that are so important for your people to know, first of all, knowing you, Lord Jesus, and knowing you as deeply and as profoundly as they can, Father, to then have the humility of your Son, Jesus, to be a servant and to reach out and touch the lives of people that maybe they wouldn't choose to do in their minds, but their hearts are just drawing them to those people. And then, Father, that love, that mercy, Father, that essential mercy that tells us that we can have, despite our sins, our brokenness, our imperfection, Father, that we can have an eternal life with you. Bless them in Jesus' name. It is time to go, my brother. God bless you, and God bless our listeners.
God bless you too, David. God bless all. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.